Hi guys, welcome back to Pretty Little Book Nerds. My French.
Did you almost forget?
I was about to open up the music podcast. Actually, I was about to say the title for the music podcast. I don't know what happened to my brain there.
Well, you were just talking about recording equipment.
That's true.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Genevieve, and today we're talking about The Three Lives of Kate Kay by Kate Fagan, which we read almost a year ago.
Yeah, back in January.
We definitely had to, like, kind of remind ourselves a little bit, but surprisingly, I feel like I remembered more of it than I thought I did, like, while we were trying to, like, talk about it and remind each other about it. It's a really good book.
Yeah, after reading, like, the book description, I'm like, okay, I think I remember a lot of it. And I gave it 5 stars because I loved this
book. I think I did, too.
Like, I would read it again.
Yeah. Well, because it's fiction, but it's also set up in a more modernized memoir format, too.
Yeah, she writes it like an autobiography.
Yeah, and then there's also chapters written in that same format from some of the other characters that pop in and out of the story. And so I think it's just, it's kind of a breath of fresh air.
I don't think I've read anything
like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely not.
No.
I can't think of a single book that's like this at all.
And this is one of those books that, like, I would never pick up on my own just from the cover.
Yeah.
And like, I got it from Book of the Month, so yeah. I'm trying to say what I mean.
Oh, but yeah, no, I got you.
It's one of those that's like, oh, I found it from Book of the Month. Like, yeah. Should I resubscribe or something? You know, it makes you think that, but
I don't know. The thing that originally made me stop with Book of the Month was less them and more me. This is completely going off of the book, but
yeah, that's fine.
We do this. Yeah, I just stopped because I needed to save money. They're really trying to get me to come back, though. I got an email where it was like, join now for free and get all of your unused credits. And I'm like, all of my unused credits? Like,
Did you have unused credits when you canceled? Or
no, it's just like all the credits that I missed since I canceled.
Oh.
Yeah.
They don't want me then, because I haven't gotten any of these emails. Although I probably unsubscribed or something.
Maybe. I don't know. I never unsubscribed to any email thing ever. I'm really glad about that.
From the Dotson Productions one.
Ouch. Thanks. but also, there's a bookstore in my city that we both love that has their own book subscription service.
Yeah, I feel like that's becoming a thing now. Yeah. Because the last chapter up here, the romance book, like, they started doing something like that too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, like, I'm paying, like, a lot of stuff off right now. I'm trying to be smart while also not being smart because I'm still buying concert tickets and all that other stuff. But, like, I'm trying to pay a bunch of stuff off. But January, I'm like, probably gonna sign up for the one through Novel Neighbor.
Yeah.
Just because, I don't know, I feel like the books that they pick, whenever I go in there and they pick a book for me, they always do a really good job.
Yeah.
So I feel like I trust them.
You know? I feel like I would too. But it's just, I have so many books that I want to read that I'm like, I'm not looking for anything else right now.
Well, my office is being converted into a library for my Christmas gift this year.
Yeah.
So while Josh is like, oh, it's just more room for your books, I'm like, it's an excuse to buy more books. He doesn't realize that yet. But yeah, so I'm going to have empty shelf space. I need some fillers, you know. But Kate Kay, let's talk about this now.
So the main character, Annie, grew up in a small town. Her mom was an alcoholic and
a single mom.
Yeah. And she made friends with Amanda, their best friends.
Yeah. And they, like, grow up together.
Like, I think Annie always goes over to her house because,
yeah,
like, her mom's either there passed out or working or something.
Well, I also feel like for the majority of the story, her and her mom are living in a hotel. Because she's, like, working for the hotel and they're living in a hotel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I remember that. I don't know why I remember that. But I remember that that stuck out to me, that they, like, that an author would be willing to talk about something like that, you know, like. Yeah,
I just remember, like, whenever she's a teenager, she moves into her car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, back to Amanda. So, Amanda's kind of, like, out there a little bit and looking for adventure.
Yeah.
And there's off of the small town, I guess it's small, teenagers take like canoes to this deserted island.
Yeah. And then do this like,
well, I guess not everybody does this zip line or yeah. something, but anyways, Annie's like, no, hell no, I'm not doing that. And Amanda does it, but she lets go or something.
Yeah.
And then ends up falling.
Yeah. And so then Annie thinks that she's died.
And yeah. Well, she goes to get help. So she, like, finds her way off of the island by herself, goes to get help, and then
runs
adults away. Go there and stuff. But, yeah, she runs away. Because she's just like, I can't face any of this.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's like the one safe person in her life she thinks is just dead. Like, she doesn't even think that Amanda's, like, still alive or anything, so.
I think she's, like, only 17 or something
at
this point, too. So she moves, I think, a couple hours away.
Yeah.
Like, not even far away. And then ends up getting a job at a diner because that's where she just ends up that night. And so she lives in her car and works at this diner.
Yeah. Until the guy that, like, is the manager of the diner, I think, realizes that she's living in her car and then allows her to sleep in the diner.
Yeah.
That
sounds familiar.
So that she's not, like, living in the elements. Because I think by that point, it's, like, winter time. And it's freezing cold. And he feels really bad for her. So.
She gets a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Though, too. Who I don't think realizes she's living in her car.
Yeah. And she, like, kind of starts taking college classes a little for writing.
Oh, right. At this time.
Yeah. And she has this, like, notebook that she starts writing her first book in. And this is kind of how you get introduced to her, is, like, you are told basically right away that, like, she's a very famous author. Her book series was made into a movie series, but nobody has, like, seen her in public, interviewed her, like, done any of that stuff. And so she's kind of this, like, stranger to the world, even though she's, like, famous. And so,
yeah, then she goes by a pseudonym, and it's only, like, her editor that knows who she is.
Yeah. And so she, I can't remember if she's asked or if she decides to write the memoir.
I don't think it's a memoir. Like, she's writing a book, a fiction book.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, once she's older.
Oh, because it goes back and forth?
Yeah, and, like, because she's telling the story of all of this going on, and it is written in a memoir style.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember whose decision it was to write a book about her life. But she does, and it kind of unravels all of this stuff from her past, because she goes back and she starts talking to these people from her past, and it's when she finds out that her, I don't know if I should give that away.
I mean, it is a review.
I know.
So, she, the girlfriend that she meet, like, meets in this, that I guess she's taking classes with or something at the diner. Wait, we find out right away in the book. So the girlfriend goes...
Oh, that's right.
Back to the small town to find out what happened to the friend. Because for some reason, like... Annie tells her, like, what
I think happened. Because, like, she, like, has nightmares about it.
Maybe.
And, like... I don't know, something about that. I feel like I remember something like that happening. We read this a while, guys.
This is like... So
even
anyways...
Though I feel like we're like this with the newer books that we read, too. We're like...
I feel like I'm definitely better with recent books. No, I mean, I feel like you are, too. So the girlfriend goes back to the small town, realizes, finds out that Amanda's alive, but does not tell Annie at all.
Which is insane.
Yeah. And then... But they end up breaking up or something. Yeah. Or Annie just leaves again. Cause
yeah,
she,
I
you
think
know,
something
she's,
like that.
She's written the first book.
Yeah, but I don't think she had done anything with it.
Yeah, so somewhere along the line of, like, living at this place, or I guess they get an apartment together, but she...
Oh, that's right.
Let me know
if
I'm skipping ahead.
No.
It gets picked up, it gets published, then they're making a movie out of it. So, the actress who was playing a character in the movie really wants to, like, meet her and see... like, talk to her about it to, like, get into character. So the editor asks her if she's okay with that, and, like, the person signs an NDA and is like, sure, I won't tell anybody about it. I think the girl's name's Ryan?
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if I made that up.
No.
So
no,
she
that's
goes
very true.
To L.A. and, like, shows up at this Ryan's house, who is... like, a famous actress at this point, too. And so she's living at this person's house to, like, help her get into character for the movie.
Yeah, but they, like...
But she's also writing, like, the second book.
Yeah.
Right?
And I believe they start, like, falling for each other while she's there.
Yeah.
Because there was already some, like, rockiness happening in her relationship with the girl...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they just break up. And so the girl's out of the picture.
I remember there being some scene, and maybe I'm misremembering this, but I remember there being something where she was, like, Annie was, like, standing in a doorway or, like, in a bathroom or something, and she sent a text to the girl back home and was like, we need to break up. Like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Okay.
I remember that, like, yeah. I remember that, but I don't know if that's... Do you remember that at all? I remember there being, like, a text message, and then she just, like, stays with Ryan for, like, a while.
I think that does kind of sound familiar, because I'm, like, picturing her in the hallway, and I think there were, like, texts going back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that could be it, too, that they break up later. But, yeah, so, like, after going through the, you know, character stuff.
Yeah.
With Ryan, like, she stays there longer than necessary.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of get together.
Yeah.
Actually, they really get together.
Yeah, they start sleeping in the same bed.
Very, very quickly.
And then Ryan has to go shoot something else, too. So they're kind of like, what do we do now?
Yeah. And... I also remember there being something of, like, the reason that she kind of left Ryan's place was because she was, like, in the pool, like, relaxing or something, and somebody, like, some sort of paparazzi-type person tried to, like, see over the fence or something and, like, see who was this mystery woman.
Yeah. Because she doesn't leave the house, like, by herself ever. No. And, like...
Except for that coffee shop. She would go to the coffee shop by herself, because I remember that being a thing.
Okay.
Yeah. There was, like, a coffee shop that was, like, walking distance from Ryan's house that they would go to.
Yeah. She moves somewhere. I think it's to, like, follow Ryan, but, like, not tell her or something. And so she's writing, I forgot at what point, like, she's writing her other book, too. If it's, like, in the second one or the third one. Because she does end up writing a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
But she writes her mom? Or something? Somehow she gets connected with her mom again. Like, later on in the book.
Yeah, I remember that vaguely.
And then, oh, so the childhood friend, Annie and Amanda, they have this joke of, like...
Oh, somebody...
People being called Kate, but they spell it with a C. So they have this joke of, like, Kate with a fucking C or something.
Yeah.
Or Kate with a... Yeah. So her pseudonym is Kate K, obviously, the title of the book. So that's her pseudonym. So, like, mm-hmm. Amanda, you find out later, because you kind of see into her life, too. And she's paralyzed. She's in a wheelchair, but she's alive and thriving.
And she's a theater teacher at their high school.
Yeah, yeah. And she, you know, this book is, like, popular because it's being turned into a movie. And somebody gives her this book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, a pseudonym Kate K. And, like, she's famously, like, nobody knows who she is. And she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and it's also, like, she said something about how, like, as she read it, too, there was, like, clear connections, and so she was like, I knew immediately that it was you.
Yeah, so she takes time to process it, and you know, the editor is giving Annie these fan mail, right? She's like receiving a lot of fan mail.
Yeah,
do you remember that? Okay,
I do.
Which she's not reading all of it, because I don't know, that's a lot.
Because why?
Yeah.
That's going to come back to bite us.
What is it? She does end up reading, like, Amanda's letter, though.
Yeah.
Like, years later.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, my God. This makes me want to read it again.
I know. Like, so it'll good. Be a January
It's, like, reread. A pretty fast read, too.
We read it in, like, 2 weeks, I think. Like, here.
Yeah, like, we were sucked into it, but, like, I think we made each other take time.
Breaks. Like, yeah.
Yeah. sorry. so she reads the letter, realizes, holy shit, my friend is alive, and, you know, goes to see her.
Yeah.
Right? I think she stops by her mom's house and stuff, which, like, her mom, after the accident with Annie, or with Amanda, and then Annie leaving, her mom's like, I gotta straighten up, and ends up going to rehab and stuff, and then, like, Amanda and her have a closer relationship, because Annie just took off.
Yeah.
So, like, the mom's thriving, too, which is amazing.
Yes.
You know, we love a recovery story.
Yeah.
So Annie goes back and, like, sees how well her mom's doing, too, and they end up reconnecting. So it's a nice story.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is that as much as I loved this book, I do not remember how it ended. Because I don't think it has, like...
I think she stays in the small town with Amanda. Because, like, Amanda's...
Or something like that. I don't know. And this is why I put so much emphasis on the fact that it's written in a memoir format, because it doesn't necessarily have that, like, you know, wrapping paper with a pretty bow kind of ending that a lot of books have nowadays, where, like, you know the ending because it's, like, in a romance book, like, you know they're going to end up being together and they're going to be happy and, yeah, like, all that stuff.
And if they don't end up together, you're, like,
pissed. Yeah, because that would be literally insane. I hate
those movies.
I don't know if you've ever watched Jane the Virgin.
Yeah, I have, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we talked about that. Duh. There's an episode where when she's, like, and it's really funny to think of now because the person that was playing young Jane in that was Jenna Ortega. Who's now,
oh, like, is it really?
Yeah, who's now, like, a huge actress. Gosh. But she was not back then. She, it was, like, Jane at her first, like, author event, book signing, and grilling the author about the fact that the book was labeled as a romance, but it didn't have an HEA, which was Happily Ever After. And, like, she keeps bothering the author about, like, but it says on the romance book website that in order for it to be a romance book, it has to have an HEA. And the author is like, yeah, but that's not how life works. And then all the other, like, older women in the audience are like, it actually really destroyed me too that it didn't end that.
I have to watch that show again. I loved it so much.
It's not, like, it's not on Netflix anymore.
Oh, it's not?
No, they took it off. So I don't know where to watch it.
Netflix, if you're listening. Put it back on.
Well, here in Chicago, they do, there's a bar that does those, like, rooftop binge nights. And I've been meaning to, like, see when they do one for a show that I know that we both like, so I can come up and we can go to it. But they've done one for Jane the Virgin. They've done one for Pretty Little Liars.
I think I know which bar you're talking about.
Yeah. Because I don't remember what it's called. I'd have to Google it. But
or is it a movie theater?
No.
No, it has garden movies. But there's this bar that, like, has all of these pop-ups. Mm-hmm. So, like, when Dan and I went to the Buffy the Vampire Slayer pop-up, it was at this bar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they have, like, a nice area downstairs and then, like, a nice rooftop area.
Yeah, I was going, like, to say, because they do it on stuff. The rooftop and everybody gets, like, headphones.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It seems really cool. Obviously, not the weather for it right now, as Chicago is in the midst of
it just snowed like
crazy.
I don't know how many inches. And then it snowed again this morning, too. So,
I have off work tomorrow, so I don't care.
Yeah, she's kind of stuck here.
I'm stuck here.
It's supposed to be, like, 40s tomorrow.
So by the time my parents hear this, they won't be stressed out anymore. But, yeah, so there's not really, like, that pretty little ending that books are kind of known for nowadays, having that ending where it's memorable because it's very, like, finite and very definite.
Mm-hmm.
This book doesn't really have that, which is more of the memoir. The only word I can think of is aesthetic, which makes me sound really silly, but because, like, memoirs don't end with a pretty little bow because the person that's writing, their life is still going on. And so I think while I can't necessarily remember the ending super well, I think it kind of makes sense if you're going to write a book that's in that memoir format, ending it the way that any other memoir would end fits. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes sense. So I don't know if you remember the ending, and maybe I'm just, you know, losing my marbles, but
I don't really remember that much either.
I just realized that that's an M&M mug.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because all I could see was the back that just said blue. So I was like, okay.
So I'm on Goodreads right now, and if the reason why you haven't read this book yet is because for some reason they're comparing it to The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, which I also read.
I'm afraid to read that because people love it so much, and I feel like I'm going to.
Okay. Like it. Yeah. It's because It was written very well, but like, you're reading it, or at least like when I was like, okay, what's, like, it describes her her relationship with the husbands and like kind of how she grew into who she was and blah blah blah, but like, you never, or at least I didn't, but like, care about her. And I'm just like, why am I, like, it just became uninteresting to me. And then it's also, so the description on Goodreads is The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo meets First Lie Wins.
Yeah, which I disagree entirely.
Like, I didn't even read that book, but I know, like,
it's Riley Sager, I believe.
Which is mystery, right?
Yeah, it's thriller.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is not a thriller. You're like, it's kind of a mystery because you don't know what's gonna end up happening with her later life. I mean,
that's any book, though.
Yeah, but no, like, I don't know
where
these came from.
I hate when...
Oh, it's not Riley, it's Ashley Elston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I always, the two of them, for some reason, their covers are so similar in my brain that I think I just have made them the same person. But something that I've learned from going to a lot of author events and talking to a lot of authors is that authors actually don't like when their book is like described as like, it's this book meets this book. Like, authors don't like that because it turns a lot of audiences away.
Yeah, and it's like one person or company's perspective of it, and a lot of times it's like wrong. It's like, yeah, where did this come from?
Yeah. Well, it's like, I'm gonna use this as an example. It's probably a terrible example, but like, Julie Soto has a book that recently came out called Rose and Chains. They've worked really hard to get that book put out for a really long time. It started out online as a fan fiction for Harry Potter.
Oh, is this the person?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so when they decided to make it an official book, of course it can't be Harry Potter based. A, because, well, J.K. Rowling sucks ass.
Yeah, and you'd get sued for, like,
well, that too. But yeah. But then she went back into the story that she wrote, like, over a decade ago. And, and, like, changed the character names, changed the world, changed the magical elements, like, changed all of it so that it was a completely new story. And yet, when it was pushed out onto shelves and stuff, it was sold as a Harry Potter fan fiction, basically.
Yeah.
So then it turned a lot of people away. But she's like, no, I'm not associated with that anymore. Like, please, this is an entirely different book. Like, I've changed everything about it. But nobody cared because it was already described as something that it wasn't anymore. And
yeah, even these, like, so I just learned this, I think, like, at the beginning of this year. But so a lot of these, like, big famous series are, like, based on fanfic or something.
Oh, well,
so,
yeah. The After series is a One Direction fanfiction.
So, 50 Shades of Grey.
That was also...
It's an adult erotic BDSM romance franchise. Okay, we know all that.
Is that One Direction too?
No, it originated as a fanfic for... I'm trying not to read all of this. Oh, whatever. For the young adult teen romance novel series Twilight.
Twilight, that's it.
That story was turned into a full-length novel titled 50 Shades of Grey. So it's like... Yeah, and then there was something else... based on Harry Potter 2.
I don't remember.
That...
I
forgot what it was, too, but I think, like, of course, the author changed everything. I don't think the author... I think it was, like, a straight person. That's why nobody gives a shit. Right? Is that...
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, like, so many books start as fan fiction, which is great. It gives... Like, I might not necessarily super enjoy this series, but the After series by Anna Todd, that would not be a book series, like, actually like, physical book series if she had not written it as, I believe, a One Direction fan fiction on Wattpad. So, and people love that series. I think we can all collectively agree those movies are trash, but that's besides the point. That's not her fault. But, like, then, like, she went in and changed everything, so it wasn't a fan fiction, so that it could be traditionally published. Like, I feel like if people, whether it's a brand new thought up idea, brand new thought up story, or it's something that started out from something else and had to be changed so it could be traditionally published, no matter where the story comes from, where the book comes from, comparing it to other people's pieces of work entirely diminishes the author's piece of work.
Yeah, like, I can see if you're like, oh, if you like this series, then read
that makes series. That makes more
but
sense,
not
though.
Like,
well, because, like, if, because I would say
these,
like,
two books meet each other.
Yeah, because I would say, like, if you like if you like Ashley Poston, read Kate Robb.
I thought, because it was Poston.
So did I, and then I watched an interview and they said Poston.
Oh, I thought,
so, I don't know.
What's that girl's name? The Joyride girlfriend.
Oh!
I thought she was, like,
Haley Pham?
Yeah, wrong the entire time. And I was like, why does she keep saying it like that?
Yeah, but, so,
okay,
I don't know.
I guess she's right.
She could, we could all be wrong. Who knows? But, like, yeah, if you like her, I would say read Kate Robb. But I wouldn't say that, like, this Kate Robb book is exactly like this Ashley Poston book, because it's not.
Yeah.
And if it was, it would be boring. Like, you know, like, so I know I just went off on a tangent. That's like, as somebody who,
I feel like we both did.
I know. But, like, as somebody who, like, loves to write and is actually trying to write something that they're really proud of right now, like, if I ended up traditionally publishing this and then somebody was like, oh, well, it's this book meets this book, I would be pissed. So, like, I can't imagine that people are happy about this. Like I said, I've also heard authors at events talk about the fact that they don't like it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Soapbox. But yeah. I recommend this book.
Yeah, to sum it up, don't listen to that comparison.
Yeah, don't.
I feel like it's completely its own.
It is very thing. Much its own book. And I hope she puts something else out soon, because I would love another book. She has other books,
from her
but
published books, it's like every 3 to 4 years or something.
Okay.
Usually, so.
I wonder why, though, because I hadn't, I mean, obviously, I don't know every author or anything. Like, I'm not saying that, but, like, I feel like I heard a lot about this book, and I feel like this book has been a lot, maybe I'm just more in the book world now, but, like, I've heard a lot about this book. I haven't really heard about much of her other stuff, so I'm actually kind of curious about
one
it.
One of them sounds familiar. Oh my god, I keep coughing. I forgot which one. I think it was the first title that I read to you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. It, to be completely honest, the titles of her last books, it really sounds like something my mama would pick up to read. Where it's that, like, oddly, odd family inspirational type book thing.
Yeah, like, what made Maddie run? That sounds so familiar. I'm pretty sure that's, like,
is it about, like, somebody
a famous book
does, like, track or something?
The Secret Struggles and Tragic Death of an All-American Teen.
See, that, to me,
yeah,
that doesn't
sure
sound
that's
like fiction. That's why I was saying, like, I feel like maybe some of her other stuff was nonfiction. Because to me, that just does not sound like a fiction title. You know? I don't know.
Where does it say on Goodreads?
Here, can I see?
Monthly sports.
I think it's, sometimes they put it down. Yep, nonfiction.
Oh, okay.
I
never mind.
Those,
I thought it was
those long ass titles. If it's a long ass title, it's a nonfiction. 1000%. Like, the book that I'm reading right now is
Oh, the other one is a nonfiction too.
Yeah. This book that I'm reading right now, it's called The Real Lolita. There are a lot of mixed reviews on it. I'm wondering if I'm actually going to end up enjoying it or not, because I've read a lot online about how it has a lot of promise, but it has very little follow through. So that makes me nervous. But like, it has an insanely long title. I can't remember the full title.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 9 times out of 10, if it's an insanely long title, if it's something that a Fall Out Boy song from the early 2000s would be named, it's probably nonfiction.
Okay, yeah. And I forgot about this because I did read a lot about her whenever, like, after we read
The
Three Lives of KK. So, she's a former professional basketball player.
Oh, shit.
And spent 7 years as a journalist at ESPN.
Oh, damn.
So that's why, like, a lot of some of her books are, like, sports related.
Yeah. Which does kind of mean probably won't read them. But.
Yeah.
She writes really well. I'm just not a sports person.
But I would definitely read this book. People out there.
Yes, this current book that we're talking about, Three Lives of Kate K. I might even put it on my reread list, like, for next year.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of, like, book lists, I'm just gonna be completely honest. I've given up on trying to reach my Goodreads goal by the end of the year. It's not gonna happen. I think I'm at, like 36 or 37 out of 50. And it's making me anxious.
Oh, gosh.
The fact that...
Well, plus, this is, like, a bigger book, the one that we're reading right now.
Yeah, which is going to be for another episode, so we're not going to talk about it yet. But also because you and I are in very different spots in this book.
Yeah.
But I am planning on... I opened up Good Spirits by B.K. Borison when I bought it. And the first chapter literally starts on the first day of December. So I think that's when I'm going to start reading that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They have a whole section. I really want you to come back down to St. Louis at some point. Now, I know. Novel Neighbor has an entire display shelf. You know that display shelf where they usually put, like, staff picks and stuff?
On the left side?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all Christmas books. Oh, my God. It's all, like, holiday themed. Okay. So it's not just Christmas. There's also, like, Hanukkah and other holidays that happen during this time, like books that are centered around those that are on that shelf as well. I am actually considering picking up one that's like a Hanukkah romance. It seems quite interesting. The cover's really cute. I can't remember who the author is, but the cover is just gorgeous.
Are we reading Good Spirits together? Or
we could. We only have one episode for December because of how the calendar lands.
Okay.
So,
if we...
So, maybe.
Read that together.
We'll
just put out a bonus episode.
Ooh.
And then I was waiting until after I finished, like, my two kind of... what do I want to say? Like, Halloween? October?
Oh, yeah, because you just finished...
Fall books? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll get into our last questions of the
podcast. Oh, yeah, why don't we just... Yeah, let's just hop in.
We did it naturally.
we did. We're ready.
I just finished A Witch's Guide to Fake Dating a Demon.
By Sarah Holly. I loved
it. It was, like, so cozy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think I started it, like, the beginning of last week. So, I went through it kind of quickly. And I did...
Well, no, because you started it when we were... When you were up at my house in October.
Oh, yeah. The weekend before Halloween? Was that weekend?
No. I don't think so.
I don't know then.
It was the 16th, I think, when you got in.
Oh, okay. So I didn't read it fast.
I didn't... I gave up on it, so I have no room to talk.
Yeah, but I think it was just because... You hit a rut of, like, not being in a reading mood. And then after a weekend, I actually hit a rut of, like, not being in a reading mood.
And I'm still struggling with kind of being in a reading slump, which is why, like, the books that I picked for myself to read, like, personally, I feel like I haven't really touched, but this is getting me back into it. The book that we're reading right now, we're reading Merry Christmas, You Filthy Animal by Megan Quinn.
Animal? It sounds like you said Hannibal or something.
Oh, Hannibal? Sorry, did I mumble? I do that sometimes. Sorry, Merry Christmas, You Filthy Animal by Megan Quinn, which we're not going to talk about right now because that's going to be our December episode if you've looked at our calendar online. But I don't know if it's actually physically reading this, which I do feel like I read a lot of pages just sitting here earlier, but like the audiobook of this is just so fun. This one and the first one, like it makes me want to listen to the first one again because of the fact that it's like fully casted with a narrator.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
It's just so much fun. I wish every book was like that. I know it's some books it doesn't really work for, but like, but yeah, this is really helping, which is interesting because like when you were in town, like I went back to like my comfort read of American Psycho and I could not sit through it. Yeah. Like I don't know. I'm really struggling. I don't know if it's just
I'm struggling with that book and it's my first time. I'm just like, oh my God.
Well, it's not that. It's, I just mean with reading in general, I feel like I just.
What helped was like, even though I was really interested in reading A Witch's Guide to Fake Dating, I had to, like, stop all my books that I was in the middle of. And, because, you know, when a new book comes out and you're like, oh, I want to start that one right away.
Yeah.
I read Mate by Allie Hazelwood. It's the second book of that series that came out in October. And, like, I just devoured it, pretty much. And then now I'm, like, back in my mood to read all the time, nonstop.
Yeah. And I feel like that's what is getting me with this one. Like, I could probably just sit here and, like, if I had enough time to just sit here and finish the whole thing in one sitting, I could probably do that with this one. I would probably want to, like, go back into the audiobook, though, some, too, and, like, kind of go back and forth a little bit. Because I feel like this is very much an audiobook book. Mm-hmm. But then the physical copy draws you in because of the drawings.
Yeah. I was just checking. So, like, you know, because we always talk about what we're reading now. And, yeah, I highly recommend Bride and Mate by Allie Hazelwood. They make me want to read everything else that she's ever written.
I have her short stories, the collection of novellas, if you want to borrow that ever. I meant to tell you about that.
Oh, which?
The Loathe to Love You, the Steminist novellas. Oh, okay. They're actually, I read the first one, it's really cute.
I found the Love Hypothesis the other day, so like, yeah, I have that I'll be reading soon too.
Well, also because the movie for that's coming out next year.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're doing, I'm not going to say what book we're doing it with, but we're, one of the videos that or episodes that we're going to do next year is over a book that's being made into a movie. We're going to talk about it. I think. We agree on that, right? Yeah, okay. I was like, let's make sure here. So I feel like we'll have to do it with that one, too. Also, because I don't know if you have or not, but I've met Allie Hazelwood, and she's literally the sweetest little baby angel. Yeah, she's so sweet. They did a thing, and I'm really hoping they do it again this year. If they do it again this upcoming year.
At Novel Labor?
Yeah, you'll have to go with me. Of course. I will kidnap you. but they did this Galentine's Day event where it was Allie Hazelwood, B.K. Borson, and Christina Forrest. And it was just like, it was such a fun event. There was, you know, stickers and book signings, and it was a sold out event, but it was a lot of fun. I'm hoping it was through Berkeley, and so I'm hoping they'll do it again this year, this upcoming year, maybe with different authors, of course, but like I feel like B.K. Borson will have to do it again though, because her next book comes out around that time.
Yeah.
Her next book comes out in
I feel so February. Bad for her that she had to like cancel due to like something with the family. But did you read the comments on that on Instagram?
Was everybody being supportive?
Everybody was being supportive and so sweet. And okay. Was like, good for you. Like, you're amazing.
choose your family first and stuff. And I was like, oh my God.
What I've learned is that what the music community lacks in artist support, the book community makes up for. Like, everything that we complain about with, like, how musicians are treated, about, like, if a musician has to cancel a show, everybody's like, oh my God, that sucks, why would you do that, blah, 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 like, all this stuff. Like, people get so mad about it, which I get, because sometimes, like, you're traveling from out of town, or, you know, spending a lot of money on places to stay and stuff like that. So, like, I get it, but saying it online is another thing entirely. But then the book community, if anybody ever has to cancel or change something, they're like, just do what you need to. Take care of yourself.
I feel like, I know this is not your type of music at all. Okay, so I was at the Rage Against the Machine
concert. Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, not. They got back together to, like, do a concert, mm-hmm. and then it was, like, it had to be pushed back because of COVID and stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, like, they're a band that has, like, a huge following, obviously, very big in the 90s, very big now, and, like, very into politics and, like, you know, doing the right thing. Let's just say that to sum it down. And anyways, I was at the concert where, like, their the lead singer, Zach, is very physical and, like, jumping around and stuff. He tore his... Like, not the Achilles heel. Maybe it was, the Achilles heel.
Was it the tendon?
Yeah, he tore it. So, like, and it was within, I think it was, like, the third or fourth song, too. So then he's, like, sitting on a speaker.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of bouncing around, but he did not cancel that show, even though he had to have been in so much pain. But, like, I think he even played the next night in Chicago, too, and was, like, not... jumping around and stuff, but obviously they canceled the rest of their tour, and, like, that whole community was so, like, understanding and stuff.
Oh, well, that's
because
good.
He hurt himself really bad, and it was crazy that he even finished that show.
It is insane, but I feel like musicians do that a lot, where they, like, injure themselves on stage and then they just, like, keep going. I don't know. This is completely off topic. This is not for the book.
I know.
This is not for the book podcast.
Like, should we go back to books or?
But I need to say this and I need to know your opinion. Have you seen, there's this duo, and if you haven't, you can, like, Google them, because I want you to see a photo of what they look like. This duo called Royal Otis.
No.
One of the guys in Royal Otis, I swear, is just trying to look like Kurt Cobain. And it,
I mean, that was
me
a very popular look anyways.
But, like, this is, like, a now band. And I mean, like, literally like Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, I'm guessing, is that a guy?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yep, that would be the one. It's,
I don't know. I feel like that's kind of
and, but
a
then
look
they do
now,
like,
though.
But then they do, like, pop music, and it's really weird, so... It's just,
although, that is, like, very,
yeah, I don't know,
hurt,
but yeah, that's my last thing on music for the book podcast.
Well, I can't even remember our other questions.
What have I been reading lately? I said I've been reading The Real Lolita, which is actually, it's really interesting. It's about the girl who inspired Nabokov to write Lolita, even though he swears up and down that that's not what, like, who it's about or whatever.
Okay.
But then he literally names her in the book. Like, he talks about the case in the book anyway, so obviously it was pulled for inspiration. It's already seeming quite interesting to me, because it's a comparison of true crime and literature, which are, like, my two favorite things, so it's, like, kind of perfect. But I'm not done with it yet, so I don't want to say that I fully recommend it until I've finished it. I'm also reading, Hannah Bonham Young's second book in her Out series, which I had to kind of take a break from it, which I'm not gonna say why on
here. Oh, is it Out of the Woods?
Yeah. I had to take a break from it. For a reason that's not book related or important to you guys. And hopefully I'll be able to go back to it. But it was just too much emotionally for right now. But that means I get to read Megan Quinn, who, if anybody out there knows Megan Quinn or B.K. Borison or, well, actually, no, I'm already talking to Lori Gilmore, but, we want them really bad for something. I can't say what, but we need to talk to them. We've been emailing them nonstop.
I was hoping to get tickets because this one bookstore up here had an event, it was a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday, and it was... That doesn't matter. Anyway. It was Megan Quinn, like, mostly her, and then Allie Hazelwood.
But you, like, didn't tell me about this?
When I found out, though, like...
I would have, like...
It was already a wait list.
Oh.
Of ticket.
Yeah. That's rough. Okay. Because I'm like, I would have quit my job. If they would have said no, I would have just come up here. I would not have cared.
I know, but...
We're going to end up, we need to be those people that just ends up working in the book industry somehow. Like, we need to.
I think so.
So then that way we can be at these events, and then we don't have to pay for them, we get paid for them.
I know.
That's what
really,
we do.
I really want to be, okay, wait, let me say what I'm reading right now.
You can tell we haven't recorded in a long time.
Even so, whatever. I hope this is entertaining.
I feel like it would be if I was a listener.
One of my friends, Brittany, and I are reading The War of Two Queens by Jennifer Armentrout, and it's the fourth book of the series. So we're reading that together. And then I'm still in the middle of The Secret of Secrets by Dan Brown, just because, like, I love all his books. I've read... all of them except one.
Did he do Red Rising?
No, this is... He did,
Oh, no, he did,
Like, Angels and Demons, the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. I feel like the guy that did Red Rising, though, does... Oh, yeah, his last name is Brown. It's Pierce Brown.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, we need to read that, because...
I've read it already.
Haley... Oh, really? Haley Fam.
It's really good. Those.
Okay.
I actually never put in that I finished that. So that I need to put that in for my Goodreads count.
Yeah. I might actually be able to finish mine.
Oh, did you start that one, by the way?
No, I just added it today.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I looked at hers and it says Book Swap, which we're both trying to read. I read the first chapter already and I had to, like, pause and Google some stuff. Because I was very confused. I did not. I guess I didn't pick up on what was going on.
Okay.
Very well. Because then it's basically everybody online was like, yeah, you're freaking stupid. It's like right there. It tells you what's going on. Like, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so. I'm going to start that soon. I wanted to finish, like, Mate and then The Witch's Guide to Fake Dating a Demon before I started, like, another romance book.
I really need to get out of romance. Like, we both need to, like, push our limits next year.
Okay, American Psycho. I started reading that because that's, like, one of your favorite books.
It is, and I love it.
For some reason. Sorry.
Because it shows how douchey men are, and they don't hide it. They don't try and act like they're, like...
I mean, this is a psychopath, though.
I know. And that's why we love him. He's a lovable psychopath.
I don't think he's lovable at all. He, like, kills... puppies. What the hell?
We're not going to talk about that.
Okay, yeah. Anyways.
You haven't gotten to the part of... You haven't finished the book, so there's, like, a whole section.
I think I'm
going to
make myself read, like, a chapter a day, and then, yeah. But The Secret of Secrets, like, obviously not a romance.
Yeah.
And then...
But also, we're trying to pick books for episodes for next year. So if listeners out there have recommendations...
Yes.
That would be great, because I feel like we're only reading stuff that we know of and like. We need things that we don't know of, or Well, I don't, yeah. I don't know if we like it.
So what I was going to say before saying what I was reading, so I went to an author talk last week.
Yes, you told me.
I don't know if I should.
Are we going to read that book, though?
I want to read it, but I don't want to pay for it. I want to get it from the library, and our library, for some reason, like, it's so weird when the Chicago Public Library that has, like, 80 locations does not have a certain book or movie.
Oh.
So I don't even know if it's on order yet, because it did come out, like, not last week, but the week before. I don't know.
I think I'm going to get it on my e-reader, because it's super cheap through Barnes & Noble.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Okay. And I have the subscription, the yearly membership thing. I need to start, like, actually using it. Haven't been because I've been going to local bookstores instead.
Yeah.
So I need to be better about that. But
I'll just say who it was. Whatever. It's Eli Frankel who wrote a book about I wanted to talk to you about this anyways. The Black Dahlia cold case and how it connects to another murder in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And so, going into this, like, I've always been interested in, like, the Black Dahlia case. Like, I've watched a lot of the documentaries. It's not one where I've watched, like, all of them, you know? Not, like, Bigfoot. But yeah, so going into this, it's, like, it was me, another younger girl, maybe in her 20s or something, and then, like, an older woman who said she was from Russia, so she didn't even know these cases. I don't know if she was just, like, didn't have anything to do or something, which was kind of funny, because, like, she didn't know where San Diego was. She didn't know where LA was, and so he had to, like, really backtrack for her, which I found entertaining, because I was like, oh, wow, like, you haven't heard of, like, this huge thing. I feel so bad, but the woman who was, like, had her questions prepared, who, you know, every author talk, there's, like, a person asking questions. I feel like I would be very good at that, and this woman was, like, not great, because I feel like questions should have been changed for, like, the lack of audience, which I'm really surprised there was a lack of audience, because this bookstore...
Yeah, especially for Chicago, too. Like, I feel like that would have been one of the bigger stops, because I know in St. Louis... He was in St. Louis, too. I did not end up going, even though I had originally planned on going. But I know his was pretty busy for St. Louis.
Yeah, and this was, like, it's, I mean, the bookstore that's, like, up the street in Lincoln Square. And it's really popular. And I think... They had just said that this book made the New York Times, some bestseller list. I don't know if it was quite the New York Times one and stuff.
I'm not sure.
I kept going back and forth between if I wanted to buy the book or not, because this guy has a lot of, like, his whole... professional career is, like, in Hollywood, like, as a cameraman, producing, blah blah blah, so, like, he got all this evidence because it's, like, anyone in the public could get it. He said that it's not, like, through his connections or anything, anyone in the public could get it and stuff, and, like, read the letters that the Black Dahlia wrote, Elizabeth Short and stuff. And so he connected the cases, and it was pretty convincing.
Yeah.
And, like, he found the older woman who, like, found the body of Elizabeth Short. Like, so pretty much the LAPD changed the narrative of, like, what you really know about the case. And stuff, and from documentaries and stuff, it was actually changed, and they did that for a reason, and all of this. So that's why I'm like, but some things were kind of, seemed kind of rehearsed, and I know, like, this wasn't the beginning stop on his tour, that he probably repeated himself a lot.
But yeah. I don't know. Just part of me was like, I don't think I want to buy this. I think I just
want to. Do you have an e-reader?
Yeah, I have a Kindle.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I have my old Barnes & Noble e-reader. And I could just, like, give it to you. And then when I buy it, like, you could read it on that one. And then you wouldn't have to pay for it.
Yeah. Which that might be good to do an episode on, too. Because we both want to read it.
Yeah.
I won't talk about book now and, like, what he said.
I know. If this conversation interests you, though, and you're into true crime, go ahead and look at True Crime Travelers, also here on Dotson Productions.
Oh, yeah, I need to watch those videos, too.
The first one's really bad.
It's really long, and I'm like,
that was the one from this year, and I was actually so proud. Proud. Wow, I can't speak today. Sorry.
Well, I keep coughing, too.
I was so proud of the fact that we had so much footage from our trip this year, because when we went last year, we tried to record stuff and, like, film stuff, but we did a terrible job of explaining. When it was your mom that made me realize that this happened, we didn't say what case we were talking about.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Yeah, so that was, there was
like,
that.
What the hell are you talking about? And you're like, oh, no.
Well, she knew because I told her what we were talking over and stuff. But this is our, like, longest episode ever.
I feel like, yeah, we completely detoured. But
we did. Read Kate K.
Yeah.
And watch the newest episode of True Crime Travelers.
Yeah. My main point of this story about the author event, though, was that I think I would be really good at, like, asking questions. Especially because... Wait, couldn't we say what we've...
Oh, no. Let's... No. That, okay. But yes, you're correct.
But,
We're keeping secrets for a little bit longer.
Yeah, so... Never mind.
I don't want to give anything away because things keep, like growing and shrinking and shifting for it. So I don't want to, like, give anything away. But it's very exciting.
I know. I think we should just end this.
We gotta go. Okay.
Okay. We both really liked it. Don't listen to what... the description says.
Never listen to the descriptions of books if they're going to compare books to other books.
We should take a shot every time we say books.
Oh my god, can you imagine?
Okay, well, stay tuned for our next episode.
Yes, next week. Woo!